This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill. Carlo Colaiacovo in the house from First Up, and the Leafs are back in action tonight in Montreal, taking on the Habs. Three straight games against Montreal. Monday, Thursday, Saturday, all of them can be heard right here on TSN Radio. So we're out here at 6:30. The Tap Man giving us the boot.
Nice.
Pre-game at 6:30.
Yeah. Oh, what a nice treat.
I did not expect to hear that. But
getting down to the nitty-gritty here, it should be an hour pregame show, in my opinion.
Well, what are you going to do? Listen, yeah. Beggars can't be choosers, right? So the Tap Man at 6:30, Al's brother around 6:15. That's the problem. The Tapman's coming in and kicking Al's brother down the clock a little bit, but he'll have his power ranking. Steve Phillips still to come as well with the Jays in Oakland. And shout out to Mike Weir with a win, a 36-hole win, but a win is a win is a win on the Champions Tour. And first time he's won in quite some time. And up against John Daly, who he's always got those goofy pants. He's got the beard going. His hair, his boiler is just out of control.
Dude, he looks like Bad Santa out there, some kind of version of Bad Santa. Like darts wheeling around, and he's just
his card
skulls.
Game is the best. It's the greatest,
dude. I love when he wheels away in the cart and leaves his caddy carrying the bag in the dust.
It's my favorite rule.
Like if the guy gets to use a cart, and I think he's got something with his knee, can his caddy hitch a ride, man? Like, come on.
I know, hey.
You know what was great
just
about
put him on the back.
I was
the best would be if he was caught on video up around the green saying, move your ass to the caddy. Like,
well, he's got a reputation of being a fast player. And
he's always standing around waiting for everyone.
He's always waiting. But the crew was talking about it last night. I'm like, no kidding, dude. He's in a cart. Like he's gunning it up to his ball. Of course he's waiting. Everyone else has to walk an extra 2 minutes to get to their ball.
Oh,
so
man.
It's just an outrageous view seeing him with the loud pants. And he still bombs the ball. I'll give him credit. And it was his birthday last week, John Daly. And I meant to play this audio on Friday. And it's more applicable today because he's in the news because he threw away the tournament. He was tied with Mike Weir. He was on the 18th and dunked one in the water on 18, and that ended it for him. And Mike Weir was in a great position to pounce, and he did just that.
I love the fist pump by Weirzy after he hit that approach shot on 18, walking up to the green knowing that he just sealed the deal. That was
I'll
awesome.
Tell you what, man, if Petrovic had of like given him – if he had a birdied that hole – Weirzy left that original birdie putt.
Really
I'm like, oh
short.
My God, dude.
It was a 3-footer coming back.
Dude, if it was on the line and he needed that to win, I was like, thank God this is over. Because it's like the announcer told, like, refresh my memory. He's like, well, you can still 2-putt from here. I was like, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Because that was greasy how he left himself that little 3-footer.
That was
well.
Nerves,
remember, it was a couple of tournaments ago where he 4-putted a green. He had the same distance and he blew it past the hole. Remember that?
We're familiar.
You're familiar with that one.
There was money on the line, and I'm very
familiar. Ooh, wow! You guys are betting on the Champions Tour. I love it.
That's degenerate. Imagine the guy in Vegas who only bets the Champions Tour. He's all over David Toms.
That's
to
a
win
track
on the Champions
suit and a
Tour.
Ball cap with his legs crossed in the betting scene.
That's a ponytail and always wearing a hat.
A
always.
Tight pony. A
I love
tight
it.
Pony. Yeah, we saw that tournament on, and it was just a random text. It was fairly innocent. It was, oh, where's he sniffing? And then it was like, yeah, you think he kind of gets it done in that? I don't know which way it went.
I think I was like, let me grab Weirzy because I wanted a part of the Weirzy mobile, and you were like somewhat reluctant, but you said, okay, I'll take the field or whatever. And it played out the way it played out. It did not have to play out that way yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Kevin let me play Sutherland, this. That little rat.
Yeah, he snuck up, and that was an ugly one. That was uncalled for, and we didn't need it. Let me play this John Daly clip here. This was from years ago. He was asked before he went out on the course, like how he prepares for a round. And here's what he had to say.
Well, I hit balls maybe 20 minutes, putt a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
That's how great is that?
Outstanding.
Yeah. Excuse me. Play it again.
Well, I hit balls maybe 20 minutes, putt a little bit, smoke four or five cigarettes, drink three Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
That guy's won two majors. Two.
That
wow.
is outrageous to even make that comment. There's one guy that's legendary, and he is on the senior tour now. And this dude's name is Carlos Franco. He does not hit golf balls. He just shows up, and it's where's the first tee, and let's get after it.
I love guys like that.
Love it.
I love
That's
it.
That's my Kepka's style, that. Man.
Kepka's a little bit like balls. That. Kepka is like – Kepka has said recently when he's feeling it, he's like, "Why? I've just – like on a Sunday, let's say he's in the lead of any tournament, he's like, why would I show up early and practice on Sunday morning? I'm feeling it. Like I'm in the zone right now.
I'm already better than everybody else.
Yeah, like why would I get on the range and work on things? I feel good. I'm loose. I've been playing for 3 days. I'm in a good frame of mind. So anyway, we'll play that John Daly clip a few more times before 6:30. Ray will join us here in a moment. We started the show talking about the Austin Matthews, you know, goal scoring pace that he's on right now. He's got 38 on the season. He's personally played 47 games, which is just an incredible pace. You know, extrapolate that over 82. He's on pace for 66 goals. Ovechkin has scored 65. That's the topper for him. That's the most he's ever scored. And this will not count, clearly, because he's not going to play 82. We all understand that. But a 66-goal pace, as I said earlier today, 10 players in NHL history have scored 66 or more. And it's happened 22 total times all time. So Bossy's done it multiple times, Gretzky, Lemieux, Hall a couple of times. But that's the company that Matthews is in terms of pacing. And he's going to hit 40. It's going to happen. And he's the best goal scorer in the world today. Like that's what he is and that's what he's established. And I don't know if the Leafs have ever been in a position like this, not throughout my lifetime. Like as much as like Dougie Gilmore, my favorite player of all time, oh, you as well. In 92, 93, you could have made a case he was the best player that year. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But Lemieux was still in his prime. Gretzky was still in his early 30s. You know, I think even Dougie would probably say, you know, those guys any given night were still the best players in the world. But that's where Matthews is in terms of his goal-scoring ability. And, like, they've never had the best goalie in the league. They never had the best defenseman
in
the league.
And I'm not going to use the word shock, Brian, but the goal scoring, everybody says, oh, in these fantasy pools or whatever, goal scoring is the hardest thing to do. And we'll bring Ray in and ask him. It accounts for 2 points instead of one. If goal scoring is so difficult and it's the hardest thing to do, I wonder sometimes, and I understand how brilliant Connor McDavid is, and okay, he's going to win the Hart Trophy. But why is it such a slam dunk if goal scoring is the hardest thing to do and this guy's ahead by so much in that department?
Well, let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here in the Maple Toyota Hotline. I guess we'll pose that to you, Ray. I mean, it seems like a two-horse race for the Hart, McDavid or Matthews. And what McDavid is doing from a points perspective is also historical. He's on pace for like 145 over the course of 82. But Matthews got a pretty significant buffer on who is second in goal scoring. So how does the waiting process play out here?
Who's second in points?
Draisaitl, I believe.
By how much? 15?
Yeah, it's by a substantial amount.
Yeah, I mean, he's lapping the field.
Yeah, but Matthews is scoring goals.
Pardon me?
Matthews is doing the same thing in terms of scoring goals. He's got, you know... Mm-hmm. Nine more goals than McDavid, who's second.
Okay, I guess I would say it this way. Like, I'm going to have a vote. I'm one of the 100 knuckleheads that has a vote. I will vote, if I'm voting today, McDavid in front of Matthews. And then it gets into what do you consider the criteria for a most valuable player. I think the Leafs are a better team without Matthews than the Oilers are a better team without McDavid. That'll be one of my criteria that I look at. Like, they're both having amazing years. I mean, like, for both of them, it's almost like I'm not even surprised when either of them score or get a couple of points. Like on Saturday, you know, Matthews gets two goals, and then in the first seven minutes of the late game, McDavid's got 2 points. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, of course he does. Like, it does, both of them. I thought the same thing. I wasn't even, I don't know, does this sound right? I wasn't even really impressed. I'm like, because they do it all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, it's become game, standard
it's
process.
A goal for him, a goal for him, two assists here. It's like, it's ridiculous what they're doing. Like, nobody has scored, in my recollection, nobody has done this since the mid-80s. When points were like, you know, 150 points got you into the top five. Mm-hmm. Like when Dale Hawerchuk was getting 130 points and Mario was getting 150 and Gretzky was getting 180. Like, those were like crazy numbers. That's where McDavid and Matthews would be with another 26 games to the season.
Would you look to get him rest? More so Matthews, Ray. Would you say, look, how many do you want to get here? Do you want 40 or do you want 45? Is rest at all an option in your head if you're running it, or would you ask him, or how would you handle it?
I don't think I'd need to play him 23 minutes a night or whatever. I mean, him and Marner are in the top five ice time for forwards in the league. So if you can chisel off a few minutes, it takes away the, you know, it lowers the odds of somebody getting nicked up. With Matthews, I guess I'd want to know, and of course we don't, but what kind of shape is the wrist in? Mm-hmm. Like, does a week off even help? Does, you know, 4 days here and 2 days there help? Because, as we know, once they get into the playoffs, they're playing every second day. And pretty clearly this team has hopes of being more than a one-round team, right? So you need him. You can't have him go in and like, yeah, it feels pretty good. You want him to go in not even thinking about it, if that's at all possible.
Yeah, and I kind of get the impression like 40, it's a bold number. It's a number I'm sure they're pacing for. They're aware of it. I think if he hits that, then they'll definitely scale him back. I don't know if Matthews would come out for a game, but I think he scales minutes back. But, you know, in terms of the Matthews and McDavid stuff, I was spitting out these stats earlier, and I would vote McDavid, just to clarify. If I had a vote tonight, I would give it to McDavid for what you said in terms of his – Edmonton's a lesser team, so I think you probably lean towards him a little bit more. I would also suggest the incumbent, like the number one guy, if he's done it again, he should get credit for that. A lot of times we look for the new guy. You know, like, oh, I'm sick and tired of LeBron. I'm going to go over here. I think it's more impressive if you do it every year, and you shouldn't be penalized for it. I think you should be given credit. But I'll give you one more stat here in terms of what the two of them are doing that slightly leans McDavid. Matthews, again, over the course of 82 games, is on pace for 66 goals. Only 10 players in NHL history have scored 66 or more in an 82-game season. So he's putting himself in top 10 territory. McDavid is on pace for 145 points over 82 games. Only 8 players in history have done that. So it's that close. I mean, they're both putting up numbers that are just absurd. But it's like McDavid is just a little bit ahead, but they're both so impressive. And we said it earlier, they have to meet in the second round. Like, it's got to happen. You got to take advantage of this, because once you go back to standard alignment, the only time they could meet is in a cup final. And I'm not putting money on that happening throughout their careers, unless one of them changes conferences.
All you got to do, Hayes, is tell those other two teams to cooperate.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they're listening in Montreal and Winnipeg. They should be. For my personal entertainment, they need to take a knee.
It really is. I know it's impossible when, you know, you're in fandom, but it's really an incredible time to watch players like this. I'm not going to say they're at the peak of their career because they're so young, but they're in the prime years of their career, and we get to watch it.
Yeah.
And we get to be entertained by it. Like, this is beyond, hey, really good players having good years. Like, this is incredible stuff from really, you know, we had Ovi and Sid forever, and now it's these guys. And, you know, the league will have them out front for the next decade. It's pretty awesome stuff.
Ray, I think, you know, aside from the goal scoring with Matthews that is so impressive, what about how he solidifies himself as one of the best 200-foot players in the game? Does that solidify you know, his greatness even more where he is right now, because I watch this guy play defense as good as he plays offense.
Well, I look at his that part of his game much like Sidney Crosby, where all of a sudden Sid was among the best 200-foot players around. Like, it's been said many times, Sid's the best grinder around, the superstar grinder. And I would, you know, Matthews doesn't have that, I would say, the grindy-ish stuff the way Sid plays. But no matter what you need Matthews to do, he would do it. And he can, or not, he would do it. He's capable of doing it. There are certain stars that if you're protecting a lead in the last 3 minutes that you kind of, you get them out here, you get them out there. Wouldn't you want Matthews on the ice all the time if you're protecting a lead? Like, he's a great skater. He's big. He's smart. And they showed that thing the other night where he's knocking pucks down left and right. Like, it's like he's still playing baseball, right? It's like, it's amazing what he can do. The very best players, to think about it this way, everybody's the best player pretty much wherever they are, and then they advance, and you're one of the best players, and then you get to pro hockey, and you're like, holy crap, there's a lot of good players. And these guys are still treating it like bantam. Yep. Like, they're still the best player by a considerable margin.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is amazing.
Well, we were going back and forth over the weekend in terms of, you know, this establishment of who's the best goal scorer, and you may agree or disagree. I think Matthews has kind of taken the crown this year, and he had to have like a knockout punch to do it, to take it away from Ovechkin. But Ovi's still top two, top three in the league in terms of his goal scoring ability. I think Pastrnak over the last few years has put himself in that conversation. Dreisaitl had 50. He's up there. But the Canadian, like the greatest Canadian goal scorer of all time, like forever, Canadians owned every single record for the most part. And I guess maybe for a moment there in the 90s, you could argue like Solani McGillney had that big year. Bure would have been in contention for a bit. I don't know. Was Yager ever considered maybe the best goal scorer?
Lindros, one of them?
Yeah, but I'm talking non-Canadians.
And what I'm suggesting
is once Ovi got here, it's been Ovi's crown. Like Ovi's owned it for like 13 years. No one could touch it. But who do you think is the best, like, pure goal scorer that holds a Canadian passport right now in the game?
Like, I don't know. See, like, I always think of a pure goal scorer as Brett Hull. Or, you know, somebody like that, that they can just twirl their stick around and zap, they get one chance and it's in the net. Like, I never ever thought of Wayne Gretzky as a pure goal scorer, and he's got 800.
Right.
like, you know, so the answer for me is McDavid. Because he's almost got 30 goals, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got 29. He's in second.
Right, so
alone.
It's like, how could he not be? It might not be in the pure shooter mentality goal scorer that we might think of, like how I think, but it's got to be him.
Yeah.
Like, who else could it be?
Well, like, you threw McKinnon out, you know, maybe.
McKinnon, sure.
Maybe, yep. But. Yeah, I mean, there's not one guy that I can
Crosby. I mean, could Crosby be one? But again, he's still
not there right now.
When you see Crosby, you don't really say, "Well, he's a great goal scorer." He's just a great player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like even when he was at the best of his superpowers, I wouldn't have thought, "Oh, that's the best goal scorer." You know, that wouldn't have been the first thing that I would think of Sid. It would be he's just so bloody good everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Ray,
like,
John,
when I think of Matthews, he's the best goal scorer. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think of Patrick Kane as one of the very best, most creative passers in the game. I don't think Kane could get 40 goals, and I would still think of him as a passer. Like, some guys, I think, you know, the label is the label, but McDavid, I don't think, would be thought of as a goal scorer, even though he's got 29 goals. He's going to get 30 goals, right?
Yep.
Ray, John Tavares is getting his flowers for this defensive, I don't know, element he's bringing to his game. And as much as I appreciate it and understand that he's trying to lead the charge defensively or pay attention to it or show everyone that it's important, what would your expectations of him be in the playoffs? Would it be just be a good second-line center? Would it be the defensive guy to shut down or just be flat-out dominant? Like, what would your expectations be?
No, I need offense from him because it's going to get harder for Matthews and Marner. And it's great. Like, I remember early in the year when Sheldon Keefe was talking about what a great job he was doing defensively, and because he was not scoring at all, like, ever. Him and Nylander were never scoring at 5-on-5. They kept talking about what a nice job they're doing, you know, keeping the puck out of the net. That's great. They make $11 and $7 million. Good. Keep the puck out of the net. You can do that for $1.5 million. You need them to score. And this run that he's on, Tavares, when he's like this, it changes, in my view, their entire dynamic of their team. Like, it changes everything. They don't become a one-line team. They don't become those two guys and, oh, yeah, let's hope these other two guys score. They're dangerous. And when Hyman gets back, I would suspect that makes that line even more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Leafs, to me, that's where they become a really difficult team to think of, you know, that they're going to get outplayed at the top of their lineup, because they would have two groups that can produce like a first line. Where not every team has that. That's what I think he has to have that performance for me.
We were discussing this, you know, very strange week, very unique week, where the Leafs are going to play the Habs three times in 6 days. They play tonight, Thursday, Saturday, and we've covered the Leafs, and we kind of know where they're at and where they're going. If you're in Montreal, what does this mean for you? Like, what are you trying to accomplish over the next three games here? Because we all know where this is going. It's going to be Toronto, Montreal, likely in the first round.
Well, as you know, the Montreal market can be rather emotional, much like the Toronto one. This time last week, it was like a careening car crash in Montreal. Now they're upbeat. They had a couple of good games. They had a comeback on Saturday. Caulfield gets the winner. Carey Price is skating. Weber's got a left-handed stick, and he's skating. And, you know, there's some positivity around them. I think it goes a long way to the belief that they can be as good a team as they all feel they can be. I've said this, I'm actually tired of saying it, but I keep waiting for Montreal to be the team I imagine them to be, which is really hard, like a hard team to play against. I do think they're at a big disadvantage and will be in the playoffs at the center ice position, because their guys are young, and then Eric Staal is just, you know, he's not Eric Staal like we remember. So that's where I think the thing comes apart for Montreal, but I still think they're pretty good. I still think they'd be hard to play against, because they're big, and those D will really make it hard on you. But I've been wrong with these guys all year. I just never thought they'd be in this spot.
Ray, the Winnipeg Jets have not won a game since Paul Maurice sat Mark Scheifele and pulled Connor Hellebuyck. Do you see any connection between those events and the losing?
Only that they've scored 9 goals, so maybe Scheifele hasn't been so great in the 6 games, and they've given up 27, I think, in those games, and Hellebuyck hasn't been that great. So I don't – oh, like, I'm sure both guys were pissed. Like, they were and also, like, when we got benched, nobody noticed. You just got benched. Now they're like, okay, let's go back to their last shift, and, oh, it was a bad back check or too long a change, and – Hellebuyck gave up these 2 goals and this one. And then he had, you know, like,
Mark Scheifele hasn't been on the ice in 14 seconds.
Like, somebody would tell us, hey, you 3 dummies, go sit down at the end and just sit there till I call you again. Right? And nobody noticed. You just got benched.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they were embarrassed and sour. The Jets, just before they went into this skid, I think they were 7-1-2. They had those games coming up to the Leafs. We wondered, could they really push the Leafs? Could they be good enough to, you know, to give them a run? And then the Leafs blew them out of the water, and that was the end of them. They've been careening ever since. They lose Nick Ehlers. That's a huge loss for their team. He's one of those players, I think, that had a breakout year. They've missed Adam Lowry. And their defense, this is how I describe their defense. They take lots of body blows. They absorb pressure, but they don't stop anything. They're not aggressive. They don't play up in your face.
They're not good enough, man.
Well, yeah, but that's what their guys are. And so how they've protected them is by playing in the other end, and so they don't have to take as many body blows. And right now, they don't spend any time in the offensive zone because their forwards have kind of lost their way, and they're getting body blow after body blow. They're getting softened up. And then the goalie, who I think is terrific, hasn't had a very good couple of weeks. Kind of adds up to you don't score much, you give up too much, you lose six in a row.
Yeah, that's kind of the game, isn't it? And that's where they're at. But they've baked in enough points into the standings where they don't really have to concern themselves with missing. Like, they're going to make the playoffs, but I guess Montreal is still in pursuit, technically. So we'll see. We'll see how the next couple of weeks play out. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yep, and I guess the one last thing I'd say is everybody talks about this, coaches do, don't really think, oh, I want to play those guys. Just in case the team you think sucks gets a heater right before they get in the playoffs, and you play the best team in the world in those 7 days. You don't want that either.
They'll never do it. Like, Sheldon Keefe was dodging bullets today about, what does this mean? Precursor first round. He's like, no, we might miss the playoffs. It's like, you've already clinched. It's not possible.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Never mind.
It's like he's just doing everything he can to avoid saying anything that would lead people to believe Sheldon Keefe thinks they're going to sweep the Habs, basically. Avoid that bulletin board material, and especially in this country, I think it's a smart play. I can't blame them. Anyway.
You know, Hayes, it's about respect.
It's always about respect. Race-spect.
Or
disrespect. Nice. We're going to debut that tomorrow.
I hadn't seen the video of that till later in the weekend. And Noodles was trying to slick back like the Simpsons into the hedges.
Exactly.
And I don't know where those faces came from. I was doubling over, man. I had to go back and watch again. I don't even know what the hell we were arguing about, Hayes. I think we were arguing the same point.
Oh, afterwards I realized that. I'm like, I think we're kind of saying the same thing, but we're just yelling from 3,000 kilometers away.
That's why I loved it, because I got to mail in the segment, race back and disrace back.
It was awesome.
I sat there and listened to it.
And now we've created new content. We got a new game
there
that we're going to play.
Love it. I'm just glad you guys kissed and made up.
It's awesome. It's all good. Every day. It always
happens.
It always works out that way. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Take care, boys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
Hayes, you mentioned Canadian goal scorers. One guy that can score a goal like very few can is Brad Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can score goals, man.
He is a guy, whenever anyone posts online the question, like, quote tweet this with the most underrated player in the league, Sasha Barkov gets 99% of the votes. You know, like, it's over the top. Marchand is absolutely underrated. He does not get enough love. He does not get enough attention. He is so good. Like,
it's
his
because
last,
he chisels off with a sawzall half of the attention with his antics. That's why.
Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it. The team he plays on is a team, like, it's a public team. A lot of people hate it. You know, a lot of people hate the Bruins. He's on a great line, so people, I think, hold that against him as if it's his issue that he plays with Bergeron and Pastrnak. But legitimately, you look at Brad Marchand's career, there's going to be some Hall of Fame chatter, like a little bit. I don't think he's there.
No question.
But you, over the past,
he will be there. I guarantee you, he will be a Hall of Famer.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
No question in my mind.
I don't think it's indisputable. I think it's a legitimate debate.
What's he got? So how old is he? 32 or 30?
He's into his 30s now. Yeah, he'd be 31 or 32.
He's got 7 or 8 years left. He's a Hall of Famer, man.
I think
all day long.
He's got all of the opportunity to continue to do it because he'll be at the Olympics next year. Like, if they go, he'll be there. If he adds another medal, although he wasn't there in 14, but he was there for the World Cup in 16,
World Cup, yeah,
for whatever that matters and whatever that means. But yeah, he is he's 32, so he'll actually be 33 in a week, so he's getting up there a little bit. But if you look at it, if you bottled his last like 5 years, those are unbelievable years, like unbelievable stats. Such an effective player, great playoff performer too. And I'm looking at his stats now. He's played 799 games. He's got 707 career points. So I put him in kind of the Corey Perry range. You know, Getzlaff, Perry, Marchand.
I think he'll be a Hall of Fame player, that's all. Sometimes you just have like an overarching kind of thought on a guy.
Yep. No, he's an unbelievable player. And
yeah. Well, Hayes, you mentioned his points. He's the last 5 years, he's averaged 85 points a year.
Yeah.
He's third in the league in goals right now, 27.
Never gets
nobody's
talked
talking about him.
Never
nobody's
gets talked
talking about him.
He should have been
That's
up for the heart.
Why I just mentioned him.
Yeah, no, it's a very valid point. Like he is a legitimate superstar stud that a lot of people hate on. Everyone hates if you're not a Bruin fan.
Yeah. Well, dude, he tried to fight Rasmus Dahlin on the weekend.
Dude, he licked a guy's helmet. He licked a guy's helmet.
Like, he licked a guy's,
no,
face.
A guy's face.
Yeah. He
the
licked
face.
Komarov's helmet,
yes.
And he Ryan McDonough's
Callahan.
Face, wasn't it? Or
Callahan
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had some dirty plays. That flying elbow he threw a few years ago.
Oh,
got five
Jersey
games.
Against Jersey.
One of the dirtiest, ugliest elbows of all time. And
you hated that play from the word go. You were disgusted with
that. Was
it was a bad play.
Respect, disrespect. That's where I was going at the disrespect. And it was his explanation was, oh, he moved last second and it was instinct. Just like your boy Alex Edler with his knee. But that's neither here nor there. Neither Ray or Ray respects. I don't know where I'm going with that. Steve Phillips in about a half an hour. Al's Brothers Power Rankings in about 45 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the Jays are back in action. They're in Oakland tonight. Steven Matz will take the mound for the Jays. And some big news out of baseball in L.A. Dustin May will have Tommy John surgery. He is done for the year. So the Dodgers nice. Loading up on arms, you know, and now they're running into some injury problems already. You know, we're 3 days into May, and Dustin May is a big part of what they do. They'll figure it out. You know, they're still going to have an unbelievably explosive rotation, and they still got great bats, but it's a big hit, man. He is he's a great, great arm, and it's just the nature of the position in baseball. Like, you just hold your breath and wait for the next big arm to go down with Tommy John.
Yeah, that's why you load up and have the staff that they do, though, Hayes. They were, like, start of the year, they had, what, eight deep of legit, like...
Yeah, like Kershaw, I mean, Bauer, May, Mueller. Like, it just... Yeah. They had Price coming out of the bullpen. They're loaded.
Dude, yeah.
Loaded.
Well,
now
remember,
it's a bit
they've
of a
got
grind.
David Price coming out of the bullpen. Like, that's how deep they are.
At 30 sheets a year.
Right?
Yeah, and they'll figure it out. They'll go out there and acquire somebody if they have to. I mean, I'm
got
to
play that back one day. Like, just I think Hayes just said that. And
I let it slide, but
I know. Like, Malls, you got to see, because Hayes said Price came out of the bullpen, and then Carlo pulls an O-Dog and goes, yeah, they got Price coming out of the bullpen.
I'm giving this guy a pass because you look so tired. Like, I swear you're going to fall asleep on the air here. How exhausted are you right now?
To be honest with you, I had a nice hour and a half nap, and I don't know if it's the sunlight in my eyes or the shadow that's in my eyes from the light I have in my basement. I actually feel very refreshed. So
that's such an ignorant comment to say to somebody. You look so tough. We'll get into that afterwards. But here is the clip.
Yeah. They had Price coming out of the bullpen. They're loaded.
Dude,
yeah. Loaded.
Well,
and now
remember,
it's a bit
they've
of a
got
grind.
David Price coming out of the bullpen. Like, that's how deep.
What a moron. What a moron.
Yeah, you've never made a mistake in your life either.
Dude, that's, I'm the King Daddy Topper.
Did I say Rafalski?
Oh, yeah.
That's Rafalski.
But let me just say, that was followed up with possibly one of the most ignorant comments I've ever heard in the show. When Hayes flat out says, dude, you look so tired. You must be exhausted right now.
I'm worried about this guy, man.
Like, that's like saying it to your wife, and you said it to Carlo. Like, that's an ignoramus comment.
No, it's okay, man.
I'm telling you, he's burning the wick at both ends. Like, he's doing morning shows and afternoon shows. I mean, it's not easy to pull that off. Like, this guy's on the radio 7 hours a day, basically.
No,
it never stops. It's like a radio.
You know what? From 10 to 11, I did the Instigators, Buffalo Radio, with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay. And then at 11:30, I did Tony Marinaro's show for 20 minutes, too. So
are you kidding
me? I've been on the radio all day, man.
Do you just accept every invitation? Is that the
way
it
works? You
know
what, Hayes? I find it really hard to sleep on Sunday nights, and harder during football season than ever. But it's just the adrenaline of, like, trying to recap the weekend of sports and driving my mind insane and knowing that I get to wake up and talk about it. Like, Mondays are the easiest days to talk sports, really. Like, let's be honest.
Cause there's so much content. Days, yeah, there's so much right? going on.
So today, like, that's when I, like, Mondays are, like, my craziest days because that's when I sort of, like, I don't want to do anything on the weekend. And this weekend, it was obviously my daughter's 7th birthday, so, you know, we had that occupying our time, and she had a great time doing her virtual party. But, you know, I don't know, man. Just Mondays, I always find. Tuesdays is when I feel it, though.
That's when Tuesday you start to morning, hit a bit of a wall. Yeah,
I wake up and I'm like, oh, man, that's my alarm? What the hell?
It's a grind, man. I feel it. I know where you're at. And, like, the playoffs are right around the corner. And yeah. I'm curious to see how the schedule is going to work out if the Leafs play, if they play Edmonton, or Montreal plays Edmonton, whoever it is, and it's a midweek game in Edmonton. Is it going to be a 7 o'clock Eastern start, or are they going to be, you know, because I can't imagine the Leafs. I know the rest of the country is going to roll their eyes and not want to hear this, but the Leafs playing, they play prime time. Like, that's the crazy thing about that 93
I think they might
run.
Go to an 8 o'clock game, Hazy.
I think you find a middle ground. That makes sense, right? 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's still prime time. And, you know, I get the impression like everyone in Alberta is living a similar lifestyle to the one we are now. Not a ton of commuting. A lot of people generally at home or can get home. So you probably find a middle ground. But that Leaf run, like when they played the Kings in the conference final from the semis, like they were a game 6. Wasn't it like a 10 o'clock puck drop? Like people on the East Coast were grinding.
Yeah.
Watching.
Those are the worst. Like last week when they were in Winnipeg and Vancouver, like I can't talk about the game without watching it. Like, I can't just be one of those guys that wakes up in the morning and goes through the TSN.ca.
NHL.com 3-minute game? Ever heard
of
that?
Well, I did, because when I was in Europe, that was a thing to do every morning. Come in, you put the highlights of every game on while you're eating breakfast with your boys. But I don't know. I have to stay up and watch. Like, that's what I get excited for. But just to go back to what you're saying about the time slot, obviously, we know that NBC holds the rights and the decisions to all these games. Would it really surprise you if these games were at 10 o'clock? I mean, you remember what we were having a beef for last year in the bubble when they were putting Connor McDavid games on at 10 o'clock?
I know.
It's like,
Someone's
got to
play the late. Someone's got to play at night, right? Like that it's, although it's a weird year because the California teams aren't going to be in.
Right.
And Vancouver's not in. So there is no Pacific time zone that's in the playoffs. Like, I guess, is Vegas – I never know if they're in Mountain or Pacific. Like, I know at times they are, but I think it comes down to when the clocks change. So maybe Vegas. I don't think Arizona's going to get in.
No,
Colorado.
Vegas is Western time because I believe they play a lot of their games at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I guess so. So Vegas would be the lone, like, Pacific time zone team because Arizona's not going to get in. St. Louis is going to get in now. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have basically everyone in the Midwest and the East.
Like, right? There
that's
you go.
The playoffs, essentially. But you know these networks. You're going to want some games on later at night. I would assume.
Yeah, you got to fill your time slots.
Yeah, for sure. So that there's going to be some movement. That's going to be difficult to juggle a little bit. You guys see this bombshell coming out of the real world that Bill Gates and his wife Melinda Gates are getting divorced after 27 years. Old Bill and Melinda. Like, what kind of exchanges are going back and forth at that divorce lawyer's office? Like, how much money? Because Bezos went through it. He and his wife, like, they exchanged a fortune, like a lot of money. And Gates is a, you know, top 5 richest guy in the world. And Melinda's, she's worth a fortune herself. But
so when Billy Bob gets on the market, what kind of bar play do you think Billy Gates has?
I think it's substantial. Like, I think we're talking Bo Bichette after a 4-for-5 night with a walk-off in the 9th type of movement. And, like, it's...
You honestly think if Billy G walks into a bar, he's got bar play with that get-up he's got going on?
Absolutely. Skechers, corduroys. He dresses like Matt Kuchar, but he's got... Listen, man, this guy's worth... How much is Bill Gates worth? $100 billion?
A zillion dollars.
Yeah.
That would be close to a zillion,
it's,
too.
It's a lot of money.
Let's make up a number. What were you guys, the currency you guys were talking about with the Matthews contract or the Marner contract? Pesos?
Oh, pesos. Yeah. Pesos. This guy's honestly, he'd be worth trillions of pesos. His bar play in Mexico City would be off the charts. Like, making it rain with pesos.
I just don't see this guy. I don't see his bar play. I don't care how much change he has. I don't know.
Well, let's be honest here. This is a two-way street. When Melinda hits the bar scene for the first time, too, there are going to be a lot of guys circling the wagons.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Shark Week.
Yeah. It's a two-way street for Bill and Melinda, Bezos and his wife. Like, just the amount of money that the couples have between the two of them, the homes, the real estate these people own. It's outrageous amounts of wealth.
Outrageous.
It's crazy.
Grappler just sent in $133 billion is what he's worth.
The crazy thing about that is because they're in the market, they can have, like, $5 billion swings. You know what I mean? Like, you can wake up one day and lose $5 billion, but it doesn't affect his life. Like, if my mutual funds go down by $5, I'm panicking. This guy can lose $5 billion in 24 hours, and he doesn't even notice it. Like, he'll make it up down the road. The end of an era. Bill and Melinda after 27 years. That's basically the Microsoft run, I guess. Like, when did Microsoft really kickstart? Late 80s, I guess, early 90s? So, anyway, shout out to the Gates couple, formerly known as. Steve Phillips in about 20 minutes on the impressive run of the Jays of late. They're in action tonight in Oakland. Get into this Dodgers situation with Dustin May, done for the year as well. And Al's brother coming up with his power rankings. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I don't know where you two stand on this, but there is one discussion in the sports game that I find is getting increasingly annoying. And that is the NBA MVP. Early on, it was Joel Embiid, it was LeBron James. I think they were heavy favorites for this particular award. And they had injuries, they fall into the wayside. And now it just seems like it's such a polarizing topic, and people are like arguing, and there's the CP3 or the Chris Paul and the Steph Curry, and then there's other people saying it's Jokic, and that's it, it's over, don't even ask. And it's like, it's okay to have an adult discussion. I mean, we do it every day on this show. But that conversation has gotten so annoying amongst mostly south of the border. It's just like,
every year, man. Every year.
And I know, but it's like, why does it have to get like that? It's almost like taking away from the, like, how important that award is. Like, it just, leave it alone. Say your piece and move on.
Yeah, my theory on that is, The content shows down in the States. Like, it's all it's all seasonal, right? Like, the NFL's been gone for a while. Now the draft is done, and it's time, and you got about 2 weeks before the playoffs start, so that's the topic. Hammer that. You know, LeBron will get hammered constantly. Steph Curry, they just play the hits down there, and the MVP talk is a big part of it.
LeBron's not winning the MVP this year.
No, he's not getting it this year, but his comments last night, the fact that he's out tonight where the Lakers are, that's going to drive conversation like crazy. When in doubt, go to LeBron. It sells. And listen, we're guilty of that too. We play the hits from time to time as well. LeBron is compelling content. Everyone knows him. Everyone knows what he's up to. But it's also, I think, more about that sport, where the NBA has stolen the legacy conversation, like, or they own it more so than any other league. Everything is, this guy the best of all time? Is LeBron better than Jordan? No one else does that in any other sport. Like, it's the only one. It's like every week, why LeBron is not as good as Jordan? Why LeBron's not in the top 10? It happened a week ago. Dr. J didn't have LeBron in his top 10, and that spawned 15,000 hours
of content. That one is more, that is obscene, man. Like,
yeah, it's a ridiculous
thing. Like, people are like, there's no way LeBron's better than Kobe. Some people say that he's not better than Kobe.
Well, that comes down to an interpretation. Like, Kobe's an all-time great player. I personally would have LeBron ahead, but Kobe was a better scorer, and if that's what you argue, and, you know, better leader, he stayed with the Lakers, or winner, whatever you want to. I mean, everyone can come to their own conclusion. You know, do I agree with Dr. J? Absolutely not. But he was arguing that he changed the league for the worse, in his opinion, with these super teams, and he docked some points for that. Okay. But in the NBA, it's always, you know, legacy, and the MVP is a big part of, you know, calculating the points. So I think that's in large part why we get these conversations.
Yeah, I think Kendrick Perkins came out yesterday and was like, the MVP is CP3. And that's the, you know how he carries on, yeah. And he actually finishes it
carry
with carry
on.
And I think Jamal Murray tweeted at him. I think other guys, it's just like, I was like, man, it's like they just have to, they love stirring the pot in that MVP vote, man. They love it.
Jokic right now is a runaway leader if you're a betting man. He's minus 1,200 to win it, and rightfully so. I mean, if he was – I mean, prior to Jamal Murray getting hurt, he was up during the conversation. But look what he's done
when
without
he went
Jamal
down,
Murray.
Exactly.
Dude,
that's what
15
won him the
games,
MVP.
15 games, he's averaged 26 points a game without him, and he's got him in the third – is it second?
Yeah,
second,
third,
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 seed.
No, third in the
third
West.
Seed in the conference right now.
Just like Taylor Hall did in hockey, when like coming down the stretch, he had like 40 more points than anybody on his team, and he got the job done at the right time, and that won on the Hart Trophy.
Yep. Steve Phillips coming up. Al's brother and Jose Canseco has tweeted, and we'll tell you about it. Overdraft continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Acceptedated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.